Scripture reading this morning will come from 1 Kings 3 and 5. And in the Pew Bibles, that's on 282. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?"
Good morning. Please have your Bibles open to where Terry just read for us, 1 Kings chapter 3. We're going to pick up with verse 6 here in a few moments. As he mentioned, that's on page 282. If you're using one of our Pew Bibles, it is good to see you this morning. Before we get into our lesson for this morning, I just want to mention one thing. Keep this in mind, especially for this coming week. If you're visiting with us, first of all, I want to let you know that we as a congregation are going through the Bible chronologically this year in an effort called The Story. Our theme for 2017 is His Story, Our Story. We're looking at God's overarching story throughout Scripture and how it unfolds and how it plays out in the lives of men and women, and how we continue as we look to Scripture, we see our lives built into God's story as well. And God continues to do things through us and do things for us and wants to use us to bless others as well. And so where we are right now in the story is in chapter 13 in a companion book that we're using on the life of Solomon. We'll have a lot to say about him today and in this coming week in our Bible class on Wednesday night, our Bible class this morning as well. Next week we will be in chapter 14. The story continues. And I say that because next week is a time where a lot of people in our culture who maybe don't belong to a church, maybe believe in God, but just sort of at a distance, consider things of a spiritual nature. And the holiday that is called Easter is upon us. I've come to the conclusion, especially in our culture, that presents to us tremendous opportunities. There are people who will walk into church buildings and places of worship next Sunday who, for most of the rest of the year, just to be honest with you, won't and don't and choose not to. But we're given an opportunity in times like this in our culture, and in many ways we should be thankful for this, that such opportunities exist to where we can extend the gospel, God's story for humanity, to others. And so I want to encourage you this week, whether it's your coworkers, family members, classmates at school, friends, people you play ball with, invite them especially to worship with us next Sunday. We're going to talk about the part of the story that we will be in, but we're also going to connect that to God's bigger story and what He has done for us in the good news of Jesus Christ. And hopefully you have seen that each week as we've gone through the story. But next week, I'm going to make a special effort to draw some connections there. But I want to impress upon you the importance on a regular basis. Every day, every week, but especially this week, there is a unique opportunity to invite others to be with us, and we hope that you're able to be with us as well. This morning, though, we are in chapter 13 of the story, and we are now at a unique place in the history of Israel. And when we get to next week, you will see that the moment where we are in Israel's history, they will never experience it again. But for a moment, I want you to think about where you are in life, your situation in which you find yourself, your day-to-day considerations. What is your one wish in life? You know, every now and then, maybe just for fun, you might be with family and friends, and you say, if I could just have one thing, here's what I would want. And sometimes the conversation might go in silly directions. Maybe you can be silly with the consideration that I put before you, but I really want you to give it some serious thought. What is the one thing, maybe especially in your private thoughts, when you say, if I could just have one thing right now, if I could just have one wish fulfilled in life, this is what it would be. Children, all the kids in the audience, I know some of you all have some of our worship sheets in which you interact with some of the things that I'm saying in our lesson this morning. I want you to write down on your sheet or draw a picture, if I could just have one thing, if there's just one thing I could have in life, this is what it would be. This is the picture that I would draw on my sheet. I had this conversation with Harper and Ava last night, and Harper looked at me and she says, I know what Ava would want. She would want a horse. And those of you who know Ava, Harper might be right about that. But for all of us, from children, the youngest of children who can understand what I'm saying, to the oldest among us, and all of us in between, what is the one thing we desire more than anything else, when we're honest with ourselves? When you get to 1 Kings chapter 3, there is a unique person given a unique opportunity. He is presented with the choice of a lifetime. What's the one thing that you want more than anything else? He hasn't been presented with a genie in a bottle, and he's not making a wish upon a star. God, Jehovah himself, is speaking to a young King Solomon. And essentially he says, Solomon, what's the one thing you want? Where we are in the story, and where we've come from, especially over the past few weeks, the first king of Israel, Saul, he was a man with a lot of opportunity. And in many ways, a man with a lot of promise, a lot of talent and ability, but he was a flawed man. The one who came after him, who we've talked about over the last 2 weeks, David, a man and a king after God's heart, in pursuit of God's heart. That's Solomon's father. Those are big shoes to fill. That's some predecessor to come after. And now here Solomon finds himself as the new, inexperienced king of God's chosen people. And God himself says, what do you want, Solomon? Now, if we were in his position, I'll be honest with you, if I was in his position, I probably would have, you fumble over your words, you stutter, you're like, what do I do with this? But just imagine for a moment, in the middle of the night, if God came to you and asked you, what do you want? None of us are ever going to be king of Israel, and probably king or queen of nothing else for that matter. But what if God came to us and offered us to have one wish, our deepest wish, fulfilled? I want to help us consider that possibility and how we would answer that question with a few questions for ourselves this morning based on Solomon's response here. Things that hopefully would guide us to make a similar decision. And if you've gone through the story, you know how Solomon responds, and we'll say more about that in a few moments. But for a moment, I want you to try to distance yourself from that and take into consideration three questions that might help us have our one wish fulfilled. And the first thing we need to ask ourselves in this position is, what do I need? It's as simple as that. Not what do I want? Because that's where our mind usually goes. When we have these conversations, if I could just have one thing, we're like my daughters. Well, you know, the thing that sounds really fun would be to have a horse of my own. Or to have something else that sounds fun and attractive to our lives. But what is it that we need more than anything else? And one thing that I admire about Solomon, and I realize there are things about Solomon's life that definitely are worthy of some criticism and correction. And I'll talk more about that in our Bible class this coming Wednesday. But this is Solomon's one shining moment, or especially the pinnacle in many ways of his life spiritually. And the thing that impresses me about Solomon is his humility in this situation. When God says, what is it that you want, Solomon? Here's how he responds. Here is where his initial thoughts go in verses 6 through 8 of 1 Kings chapter 3. He says, you have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David my father. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Solomon's initial thoughts upon God's presentation of what's the one thing you wish for. Solomon, he says, here I am in this position, and the work is intimidating. Solomon is humbled by the fact that he is king over Israel. He is humbled by the fact that God's chosen people have been put in his possession. And now he is in the place of his father David. I realize that as you think about Solomon and you look at his life, you say, well, Solomon really doesn't need anything. And from an earthly perspective, that's really true. You look at great men and women throughout history, you look at the richest of the rich, the most powerful, the most famous, the most admired. Solomon had it all. You would have looked at him and said, from an earthly perspective, there's nothing Solomon needs, and there's really nothing even Solomon should ever want. This is not a man of lack. His life is going to be full of peace and abundance, quite different from his father, David. Very little peace throughout David's reign. And yeah, he does become king, but David knew what it meant to live without many times in his life as well. But Solomon recognizes, in spite of everything all around him and all the treasures and pleasures that he enjoyed, he still lacked something. He still needed something. And yeah, he had big shoes to fill. He probably considered the faithfulness, the uprightness and righteousness of heart that he speaks of concerning his father and thinks, these are impossible shoes to fill. If you are a son or daughter of somebody who is highly admired, to some degree you can appreciate what David feels here. Your parents don't have to be king or queen. Your predecessors don't have to rule over a nation for you to realize, I'm just not the man and sometimes the woman that mom or dad or my role model or certain people among church, people I work with, I'm just not the kind of person they are. I think Solomon in his humility recognized that. He is David's son, but he's not always cut from the same cloth as David. It takes humility to acknowledge that. And as we consider what is it that we need, it's going to take humility on our parts to say, I don't have it all figured out. And even though my life might be pretty good from an earthly, from a physical perspective, there's some things that I still need as well. If you start there when you think about your one wish that God could grant you, you're starting at a good place. Now from there, there's another question for us to ask ourselves. With what can I bless others? Solomon begins in his humility, here's something that I lack. And from there, he goes on to consider, with what can I truly bless those around me? You look at verse 9, here's what he says to God. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to govern this, your great people? Now here Solomon essentially answers the request, but I want to focus on his motivation for a few moments. He says, what is the one thing that God could give me that could especially bless all these people that I govern, all these people that I lead and oversee? That's an inspiring thing to consider. Somebody in Solomon's position, a leader of a nation, thinking, how can I bless others? How can I use this opportunity in this position in which I have been placed to make the lives of everyone around me better? Again, we're not going to be kings and queens. We probably don't have the potential to affect as many lives as Solomon does in this moment. But when we consider, if God could give me one thing, what is the one thing that I could have that could bless everybody I come into contact with. Not just one or two. Not just people in my household. Not just the people I work with. What could bless every single person I come into contact with? That's an amazing thing to consider. If God could just give me one thing, what is it that could bless everybody? Solomon is motivated by a desire for others and using what God has given him to improve the lives of others. He realizes that it's beyond himself, and so he seeks out God. And as we see, the example that is first provided for us after this account is the famous story where you have these two women. They have both given birth to children, but one, unfortunately, in her sleep, evidently rolls over, and the baby doesn't survive. And so she goes and steals, essentially, the other woman's child. And now there's a dispute, because when the other woman wakes up, she realizes that that woman has my child. And they bring it before Solomon. And I'm sure if you lived in Israel during Solomon's reign, there were countless stories like this of disputes between individuals, of grievances. We're told that leaders of other nations came to Solomon to learn of his wisdom. Don't you think they wanted to know, how do you govern people? How do you come to the conclusions that you do? Well, one of the things Solomon could tell them is, you consider what's in the best interest of all the people. You do what is just. In the story that sometimes is called splitting the baby, Solomon shows he's giving consideration to justice. He thinks about how people who love their children think and operate. And when this story gets passed along throughout all the people, you look at 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 28. It says, "And all Israel heard of the judgment that the king had rendered, and they stood in awe of the king, because they perceived that the wisdom of God was in him to do what? To do justice." All of Israel looks at their king and says, here's a man who cares about us. Here's a man who wants to do what is right. Here's a man who wants to use his position to bless others. With the one thing that we could get from God, would we be motivated by a similar consideration? How can I bless those around me? And then the final consideration. What is it that can bless me all the time? What will always bless me? You know, when we think about, if I could just have one thing, if I could have that genie in a bottle come out, not even give me three wishes, but just give me one wish. If I could just have one thing, a lot of times our minds naturally gravitate towards physical things. Some of us would want something of a material nature, something with a dollar amount assigned to it, something that sounds fun and exciting and would offer us the opportunity to do things we maybe have never been able to do, or maybe would make our lives a bit more comfortable. And yeah, those things would be nice. Some of us think about something like, I don't necessarily need more money or a bigger house or a shinier this or that, but it sure would be nice to have guaranteed health. And when you've gone through serious health struggles and those around you have gone through serious health struggles, that's nothing to laugh at. Sometimes we think, a long life, that would be good. If God could just guarantee me a long life, I could see my children grow up, I could see my grandchildren. Yeah, that's special too. Some of us, we're still looking for that one special relationship. If God could just give me the perfect soulmate. If God could take my marriage in its current condition and make it what I know He wants it to be, and I want it to be that as well. If God could just do that, if God could fulfill that one wish for me by giving me the husband, the wife, the relationship, the family, all that my heart desires there. That's all I want. I don't need stuff. I just want that one thing. Those are places where our hearts naturally gravitate. And I'm not here to make light of those things. But what I want to share with you today is the one thing that Solomon asked for is the one thing that will always bless you, regardless of all of those situations and circumstances of which I just spoke. In fact, God acknowledges to Solomon, Solomon, you could have asked for all of those things. Listen to what he says in verse 10. It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. You know what's interesting here is Solomon just asks for one thing, and that's what God presents to him. And Solomon says, God, if you could give me just one thing, here's what I want. I want wisdom. I want discernment. I just want to be able to govern my people with a discerning mind so that I can determine right from wrong and judge wisely over all these people. And God is pleased with Solomon's choice. God is so pleased with Solomon's choice, he tells Solomon, Solomon, because you asked for this, I'm going to give you even more. One of the things on which we have focused through the story is how God is a good God. God likes to give us good things. And God tells Solomon, Solomon, I'm going to give you even more riches. I am going to lengthen your days. And peace and prosperity are things that Solomon enjoys throughout his reign. But I also want to tell you this. God doesn't give everybody riches and long life, peace from their enemies, as God says it here to Solomon. God doesn't always give us the love of our lives. And if I told you otherwise, I'd be lying. And I wouldn't be doing you any service. Why doesn't God give us those things if that's what we really want? If that's the one thing that would make our lives complete and happy more than anything else? Well, because the truth is, those things won't make our lives complete and happy. God could give you riches. God could give me long life. God could give others the love of their lives and peace all the days of their lives. And if you have those things and you don't have wisdom, they're not worth anything. The richest person in the world, if he or she lives like a fool, they don't live in abundance. The person who lives longer than anybody else, if they are foolish and wicked, what good is a long life? And even the person who has the perfect spouse and the perfect children, what if that person is himself or herself unwise and foolish? They'll never realize what they have in front of them. There is one quality that all the days of our lives, no matter where we find ourselves, no matter what life throws at us, good or bad or ugly, there is one quality that if it is in our possession, we will do well. And that is wisdom. If I walk in wisdom, I can have riches, I can be in poverty. But if I have wisdom, then I will have perspective on how to use what I have or don't have. I could have a very short life. And I could have a very long life. But if I have wisdom, I will know how to live each and every day that God has given me. And my life will be complete, even if I don't have a long life. In my relationships, I can have all kinds of friends. I can have a great spouse, wonderful children. On the flip side, I could have few friends. My family situation maybe not be what I desire. Regardless of those situations, if I have wisdom, I'll be able to look upon my life and where I find myself in light of who God is and use my position and my situation to still be blessed and bless those around me. Wisdom is the one thing that serves us and serves everybody with whom we come into contact all the days of our lives. Let me take this one step further. For those of us with children, and for those of us just as a church family looking at the next generation, when we are asked, what would I want my children to have more than anything else? How would we answer that? You know, it's one thing to answer that for ourselves, but if I could just give one thing, if I could have one wish fulfilled for my children, what would I want for them? Sometimes we say, well, you know, I want my child to have a long, healthy life. I want them to be happy. I want them to get a good education, get a good job. I want them to find the right spouse. But again, I want to direct our minds towards Solomon. When Solomon was posed with the opportunity, what's the one thing you would want for your children more than anything else? Would you be surprised if I told you? He says, I want them to have wisdom. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Even though much of Solomon's wisdom literature, as we might call it, is not included in the story, I think it's important to acknowledge the role of his writings in his life and also the role of his writings in our lives. Proverbs chapter 1, that's on page 527 if you're using the Pew Bible. Solomon begins this great collection of sayings in this way. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Over and over again in this introduction to the book of Proverbs, we're told Solomon says, get wisdom, seek learning and knowledge. And he concludes that thought by saying, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You will see that thought repeated many times over in Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or wisdom. Solomon knew if you wanted to have a wise and understanding life, it begins with seeking out God. But I think it's also important that the first person Solomon ever addresses in Proverbs comes in verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Solomon focused the book of Proverbs on helping the next generation get wisdom, to make wise decisions, to be knowledgeable about the things of life. And he knew that such knowledge and wisdom begins with God. And so as you read the book of Proverbs over and over and over again, Solomon writes as a father speaking to his son. My son, do this. Stay away from this. Don't be around these situations or these people. But my son, if there's anything else you could get out of life, choose wisdom. Grab her, hold on to her, never let her go. She will serve you all the days of your life. That is Solomon's message in Proverbs. And then the other great wisdom literature attributed to Solomon is Ecclesiastes. Turn there briefly. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We looked at the beginning of Proverbs. Here's the end of Ecclesiastes. Page 559 in the Pew Bible. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 11, here's how that great book concludes. The words of the wise are like goads, and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. And then Solomon says, my son, beware of anything beyond these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. Solomon concludes this great book about the meaning of life speaking to his son. He says, my son, if there's anything in life that I could ever leave you with, it is the wisdom that I've shared with you here. And the conclusion of it all is to fear God, to seek out God, and to follow Him and His wisdom all the days of your life. What is it that we want and desire more than anything else? I hope that it's wisdom. I hope for me that in my heart of hearts, what I want for myself, my children, the next generation, and for all those around me, more than anything else, is the wisdom that comes from God. I have good news for you this morning. God doesn't give us everything that we want. Now you think, well, that's not such great news. Sometimes the things that we want aren't necessarily going to be good for us. But there is one thing Scripture tells us that God promises to give each and every one of us if we pursue it. That is wisdom. In James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, James looks upon us in a situation similar to Solomon's in 1 Kings chapter 3. Do any of you lack wisdom? I do. First one right here. He says, don't hesitate to ask God for it. There are certain things that God loves to give us. It's not riches and fame and power, popularity, but it is wisdom. God loves to give us wisdom. And James goes on to say, and don't doubt that God will withhold this gift from you if you truly seek it out. You have no stability of mind if you think God would withhold His wisdom from you. God wants to give us wisdom abundantly. But we do have to seek it out and want it for ourselves. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 42, Jesus recalls a famous situation in Solomon's life, and one that you've probably read about in the story this past week. That's the time when the Queen of Sheba, Jesus refers to her in Matthew 12 as the Queen of the South, when she traveled a great distance to see of Solomon's fame and fortune and wisdom. But Jesus tells the people of His day, behold, I tell you, one greater than Solomon is before you this day. As neat as it would have been to sit, to stand at the feet of Solomon, and to listen to and gain from his wisdom that God had bestowed on him in a special way, there's one greater than Solomon that we need to seek out. And the wisdom that he provides, it will serve us all the days of our lives on earth and beyond. If you want wisdom, it begins with God. It ends with God as well. This morning, if you need the wisdom that only comes from God, a life well lived without God and His Son, Jesus Christ, there's a sense in which you can live out those days with a degree of wisdom. But the wisdom that will best serve us for all of eternity is found in Jesus Christ. If you need to come to Him this morning, I encourage you to seek Him out with whatever you have. Be like the Queen of Sheba. If you have to go a long way, not necessarily geographically, but if you have to come a long way emotionally, from various circumstances, from hurt and disappointment, do whatever it takes to get Jesus. If you've never put Him on in baptism, you can do that today and walk in His steps and follow after His wisdom. For those of us who are Christians, let us seek out God's wisdom and the purpose of life that He has designed for us. If you need help in doing so, we encourage you to come forward this morning while we stand and sing.